What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Ableton Music Producer Podcast. This is Dan Giffen. Today is episode 100, right? It's crazy. Can't believe I've done 100 episodes. I've had some great guests. Not only is today a special day because it's episode 100, but I compiled a list in a Google Sheet that you can download in the show notes of this episode with 100 Ableton Live tips and tricks and workflows that I created alongside a bunch of Ableton certified trainers that I hit up, and I posted in a Facebook group for trainers and was like, yo, if anybody wants to contribute. And I was thankful. We got a good handful of some brilliant minds that threw down some Ableton tips and workflows. So whether you're a total newbie or an Ableton veteran of sorts, I think there are a couple things for sure that you can pick up in this episode. And I learned a couple things too. So that's why we do this, right? Also, I'm trying something new I haven't tried before. On Spotify or select listening platforms, you can actually reply and ask questions and interact with this episode and me. So I'd love to hear from all of you what you think about the podcast, things you'd like to see. Thoughts, comments, concerns, questions about the universe, anything goes. So before we dive in and I share a lot of these tips and tricks, I want to give a shout out to the sponsors Melodix for supporting this episode. They make that incredible desktop app you can download and plug in almost any MIDI controller. It's a really great way to have more fun practicing your skills, playing keyboard or finger drumming, or even playing electronic drums. And there's a free trial. So check that out at melodix.com, M-E-L-O-D-I-C-S.com. And you can start the free trial. If you decide to join, save 20% with their subscription plan and you'll get access to way more content. And the discount code is LPO-20. That's LPO-20. Check that out at melodix.com. Give them some love. They're a big reason why I'm able to continue to do this podcast. So yeah, they make great stuff. And without wasting any time, let's jump straight into the episode. I'm gonna fire through a lot of my favorite tips and tricks in this Google Sheet. Like I said, you can download in the show notes. And I linked to several articles and a lot of video tutorials. So if you don't understand fully what something means, then just go check out. I'm gonna read it in order from top to bottom. Not all 100 tips, because I'd be here for 12 hours. But I'm going to fire through a bunch of mine, my favorites, and that'll keep this episode nice, short, and sweet. And hopefully you pick up a couple things along the way. So the first tip is resampling. If you're not familiar with resampling, basically you create a new audio track, you set that audio track's input to resampling, and then if you arm that track and hit record, Ableton is going to record a new audio clip on that new audio track of anything it's listening to. So, for example, if I'm using a huge effects rack with plugins and all this crap that's bogging down my computer, making my computer want to cry and struggle, resampling is a really powerful way to alleviate some of your CPU, make your computer happy, and you can instantly capture ideas pretty fast by recording an audio clip of whatever Live is listening to. Maybe it's a soloed track that you want to resample. Maybe it's several tracks grouped together that you want to resample into an audio clip, and it doesn't lose any quality of audio. So that's a good thing. But to take that a step further, you can right click on a track and choose save as default audio track. Then anytime you create a new audio track, whatever settings are for that track, it's going to pull it up. So what I like to do is I'll create a new audio track and I'll set the input as resampling and then save that as the default preset. So every time I create a new track, I can instantly hit record, resample, good times. Another fun fact that I discovered not too long ago is that if you hold down Command on a Mac and you click and drag a warp marker in an audio clip, like you're trying to adjust the timing of the audio, if you hold down Command and click and move a warp marker in an audio clip, it automatically creates warp markers to the left and the right. So that way the timing for the rest of the clip before and after that warp marker isn't thrown off. So that's like a really helpful way to just continue to like warp the timing and save yourself a headache of throwing off the rest of the clip at a time. So hold Command, click and drag a warp marker. That's a nice little shortcut tip. Also, as I'm mentioning shortcuts, it's good to know that you can interchange Command with Control from a Mac to PC. Another thing is when using Echo Audio Effects, which is one of my favorite delay effects in the whole universe. If you, in the bottom left corner, turn on the D button, then you can drive the input knob and have like a nice thick, rich, saturated, distorted sound. And then usually I'll just adjust the output of the volume for the echo effect as well to kind of compensate for driving that input really hard. So try that out on different sounds. And if you pull down the feedback and the timing, or the delay time, then you can get a more saturated, distorted effect than a traditional delay sound. Also, another tip, the freeze function in hybrid reverb or on the delay, there's some really cool effects and things you can do by choosing the freeze function. Just that little button, you can hit it and it just makes like really cool ethereal pads, which you could resample that I mentioned earlier. And you can just have that as a new audio clip and just create a pad or use it as a riser. I've done that before. You just create like a 16 bar frozen reverb tail and then just resample that sound with the dry wet knob of that reverb or delay all the way up. And then just go into the clip and the audio clip, and then you can pitch shift it so it has like this cool riser effect. So play with that. That thing's pretty fun and dope. Another super basic tip that a lot of you probably know already is you can turn up the zoom display. If you are like me and you're using a TV or a monitor that's kind of farther away from you, or maybe you're going half blind and you just can't see very well, then I would recommend going into the preferences, go into the look field tab at the top on the left, and you can adjust the zoom display so you can see a lot better. Because there's nothing harder than trying to produce when you can't see. So. Another quick tip is if you are using Live 11 and you want to arm a track, rather than moving your cursor, it's a lot faster sometimes just to press C on your computer keyboard and that will arm the selected track. So yeah, if you do a lot of recording, definitely helpful to know that. One of my other favorite tips in the whole universe with the release of Live 11 is the scale mode inside a MIDI clip. So in a MIDI clip, in the bottom left, you'll see a scale button, and if you click that, it'll turn on so that only inside of the MIDI clip's piano roll, it'll show you which notes are actually in key, in the key that you choose. It doesn't necessarily apply to if you're playing inputted MIDI notes, say like if you're inputting MIDI notes on your MIDI keyboard or whatever, it's not gonna lock all the notes coming into Live, but if you draw inside the MIDI clip, it can make it really easy to program and play notes inside the right key always across your entire set. So check that out. And one fun hack is if you hit the fold button in the top left corner of the piano roll area where you're editing notes, then there is that fold button. It'll fold everything into key if you have scale mode on, and then you can quickly draw just random notes and it'll always be playing in key. That's a beautiful thing, especially if you don't have tons of music theory or you just want to come up with happy accidents using your draw tool. Another helpful hint is if you are editing in a MIDI clip or even an audio clip and it's like just a super long clip, right? There's a bunch of other notes and crap in that clip that's outside of the loop that you want. Just choose the range with the start and end marker in the clip that you want to keep, and then right click in the background of that clip and choose crop clip. And it will literally crop that clip out. It'll only keep the content inside of the start and end marker or in your loop bracket. So yeah, check that out. Also, in arrangement view, if say you're like zoomed far out and maybe you're wanting to focus on a specific area, you can either have a clip selected or just highlight a section of the background grid and hit Z, and that will move in and zoom in on the selected area, or hit X to zoom out of the selected area. Just another nice little fun way to be able to kind of organize where you're zooming around all over the place, especially if you have like a bajillion tracks in your set. So definitely helpful. Another common but very helpful tip is instead of automating the track volume, you know, you can turn up or down the volume of the track, but if you automate that and you want to adjust the volume later, it'd be kind of annoying to break that automation. And then you have to re-enable automation at the top. Can be kind of annoying, so using the utility gain knob will allow you to automate, say, the volume change up or down on a specific track. Definitely really helpful. And that way you have your track fader freed up to turn that volume up and down instead. So shout out to the utility audio effect for this one. it's probably slept on the most out of all the audio effects. Utility is incredibly powerful for a lot of different reasons, so check that out. Moving right along, also in the preferences under the plugins tab, you can enable multiple plugin windows option. So this only applies if you're editing multiple plugins on the same track, but that can still be really helpful, so you can work inside multiple plugin windows at the same time. Another fun update with Live 11 is that you can randomize macro control values. So if you have the macro controls window opened on a track, if you at the top click the RAND button for random at the top of the device, you can randomize the macro control knobs for new interesting sounds. And if you open the other window in a rack, then you can also create new variations of the positions of these knobs and create these little snapshots and save them. It's a fun way just to generate happy accidents and change the positions of random knobs to come up with new cool effects, especially if you're in packs or instrument racks or just taking existing presets and kind of morphing them into your own. To take this one step further, there is a Max for Live device called Smooth Automator, and it allows you to very smoothly go between the macro variations. So, for example, say you choose one variation, all the macro knobs are in one position for a certain sound, then you can use Smooth Automator, trigger it, and then have all the knobs slowly morph into the other variation sound. So it's just a good way to create smooth changes with the knobs basically turning themselves. Another tip is with the auto pan audio effect. If you pull down the phase knob to zero, you can create some really cool tremolo effects, almost kind of like a side chaining effect. And that's just a fun way to make things pump in and out. And you can time it up and lock it in with the sync button to Ableton Live's tempo. Also, a fun hidden feature that you might not know is in the info box on the bottom left. There's that little arrow in the very bottom left of Ableton Live screen. You can open or close the info view. And if you right click on a track or a device itself, then there will be a little menu thing that says edit info text. And then when you do that, you can type down in that info box little notes or comments or reminders to yourself, or maybe you're sending projects back and forth for a collaboration with somebody. Then that's a good way to remind them and be like, yo, you should do this, or this is what I did, or this sucks, or whatever you want. Also, with the new Live 11 take lanes, that's used for comping. So when you comp, say, in Ableton Live's loop bracket, you're recording something over and over, it starts creating these new hidden take lanes, which if you right-click on the track, you can choose Show Take Lanes. And if you just create a new take lane, then you can actually drag in a video file into a take lane. And then you could drag in multiple videos into multiple take lanes. And it's a fun way to take your draw tool, you can draw over those take lanes and it'll automatically chop the video and edit the video and cut it to the beat of your song if you wanted to. So for example, I'll change the background grid to like one or two bars and I can do little video cuts and chops to the music. If you want to create like your own short little music video, and you just have a bunch of really dope movie clips or whatever, you could easily cut the video to the song or what have you. So yeah, definitely try that. That's a pretty cool, fun trick. Another great update with Live 11 is using the templates. So in your browser on the left, you will see a folder towards the bottom next to Grooves that says templates. And if you create a new Ableton Live set, say you add some of your favorite instruments, you add effects, your favorite return track effects, stuff you put on the master, like a limiter or whatever, then save that as a template. If you go to File, then you can choose Save Live Set as Template. But to take that further, one thing I encourage you is to do key mapping in your template. So for example, I have Capture is key mapped to a key on my computer keyboard. Say there's other things like certain buttons inside of Live that you want to use really quickly. Rather than scrolling around with your mouse to click on stuff, it's just nice to key map things and then save that into your Live template. So for example, I have a template with my podcast that I use to edit real quickly. I open up all my tracks and everything's ready to go. I have like a mastering template. I have another template when I just want to start a new song with my favorite plugins and stuff. So yeah, templates and key mapping for the win. So I've got a bunch of other tips that I've included in that Google sheet, but now I'm going to move on to other things that Ableton certified trainer homies have said. So I apologize in advance if I mess up your names if I haven't officially met you yet. But yeah, starting with Santiago Davila, he had a really cool tip talking about if you hover your cursor over the name of a device, you can see the device's latency in the status bar at the bottom of the screen. So that's a really good way to calculate like how much latency am I inducing? So how much delay am I hearing with the computer trying to compensate with everything going on in a project? So that's just a good thing to know. And there's more info down there at the bottom of the screen as well if you hover your cursor over things in Ableton Live. Santiago also commented and said, when you select a MIDI note in the clip, you can quickly change the velocity's value by typing a number. That's pretty dope. So you select a MIDI note in a MIDI clip, and if you just start typing right away, it's gonna change the velocity based on that number. So that's cool. Next up, Frederico Pepe had a really cool tip talking about in the MIDI clip, you can select multiple notes and press shift plus arrow up or down on your keyboard to move the notes an octave up or down. So that's a really great way. Sometimes I'll do that when I'm programming bass lines to hear the note a little better if I'm just playing by ear. A lot of times I'll play everything an octave higher and then I'll highlight, if you hit Command A, you can highlight everything inside of the piano roll and then hold shift arrow down to raise it or lower it an octave. Next up, Brian Jackson, who was on the podcast a little bit ago, talked about if you right click on the title bar of an EQ8 and or glue compressor, you can enable oversampling. I'm not going to go into great detail of what oversampling is. There's a lot of great articles online about oversampling, but it might not be a bad idea if you have a decent computer to make this the default preset for a glue compressor or Ableton EQ8. Long story short, basically what oversampling does is it is when a plugin converts audio to a higher sample rate for processing. Processing at a higher sample rate usually removes some negative artifacts that can be associated sometimes with processing digital audio, which has to do with aliasing. Like I said, not going to go into much more detail than that, but it can give you a nice clean result with the audio being played back. But keep in mind, if you have tons and tons of oversampling on for plugins, it can make your computer cry a little bit. Shout out to Brian for that tip. Speaking of Brian's, next up, Brian Funk, who is also on the podcast. He has a great music production podcast as well. You might check out. He says, name your presets with your initials so that they are easy to find when searching in the browser, which the shortcut for that on Mac is Command F. So check that out. Yeah, that's a good tip. Just having a really good system for naming your presets with your initials in your user library or whatever. That's a great tip. Another great tip is by Claire Marie Lim. She was on the podcast as well. Daltrick, check her out. And she says in session view, right click or control click on an empty clip slot to remove the stop button. And this is really great for live performance, which is very true. I do that a lot when I'm DJing between, say, a deck A and deck B track. Then when you're transitioning, if you trigger a new scene in that row, those little stop buttons will stop clips from playing on a track if you change to a different row or scene. So yeah, that's a helpful tip for anybody performing live in session view. She also says using capture to capture the MIDI info for when you're noodling around. Yes, whenever you're just playing around, it seems like a lot of times you're not always recording your best takes or ideas. So yes, using the capture feature that was in Live 10 that came out is still a great option to use. Shout out to Claire. Next tip is from Richard Balgobin. And Richard says, import a groove clip into an empty MIDI track and then place a melodic or percussive instrument on it for an instant rhythmic vibe. Yeah, that's a really cool idea. So if you do drag a groove clip from the grooves folder in the library or in the browser, you can drag that onto a new blank MIDI track and then you can have like an instant groove of MIDI notes playing back and you can create some cool percussive rhythmic things and maybe add a drum rack preset to that track or something. Richard also had a really dope idea that I didn't know existed. In session view, if you hold command plus shift plus I, then it will copy all of the clips being played into a new scene. So it's a really great idea just to take everything playing and just organize it onto one new row or scene, as we call it, with all the clips that were being triggered. It's kind of cool. So yeah, you can create a bunch of random ideas all over the place in session view, organize them really quick onto one scene, and then obviously copy that into arrangement view if you wanted to. Next up is Hazefa Syed. He mentions adjusting the clip gain inside the audio clip to increase or decrease the amount of volume. So this is something that I also use often. It really helps with controlling loud or quieter sections of, say, audio samples. And especially in the podcast, for example, if I start yelling super loud or whatever, or the guest does, then I'll just trim that clip and adjust the volume in the actual clip itself with the clip gain. Hazefa also said using the spectrum audio effect is really helpful to assess the Fletcher-Munson curve when finishing a mix. Not only that, but it's just really great and helps balance out the mid-range and the low end of your sound, putting it on the master track just to see how all the sound is balanced in the full spectrum range. Also, I find it's really helpful to import a reference track so you can really compare and contrast the overall curve of your mix versus other mastered tracks that are finished and out there that you love and you want to have similar audio quality. Another tip is by Rasmus Kajerbo. Sorry if I mispronounce your name, Ras, my bad. He mentions if you open the groove pool, play with the global groove amount because that can really affect the arpeggiator's swing. So once you find a groove that you like and you've applied it to, say, some audio or MIDI clips, then play with the global groove amount under the browser in that groove pool section. So yeah, you can find some cool swinging effects that way. Next tip is by Wiggs Caro. It says, when having reference songs in your session, you can set that channel's output in the in and out to external out instead of the master to bypass your plugins on the master channel. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one way to do it so that you don't have your reference songs going through your master with all of your limiter and other effects to reference, say, another song in your session that you're trying to compare and contrast your song with the quality of another song. Wiggs also says naming certain types of presets with symbols like plus or minus or special characters at the beginning of the preset name can make it easier to find when searching all results in your browser, or that command F function that we talked about earlier, just to quickly search in the browser. Next is Melanie Frizzoli. She was on the podcast not too long ago with the Max for Live Ableton Certified Trainer Roundtable. So that was a really great episode, honestly. If you guys want to go back and check that out, there's a lot of great tips in Max for Live devices that she and others shared in that podcast episode. Couple things Melanie says is click on the word length in the clip view. So you're editing, say, a MIDI clip or audio clip. If you just click the word length, I didn't actually know this, so shout out to Melanie. It actually changes the length, which is pretty cool. So Live will display the exact length of the clip, which is really helpful if you zoom in too far. Another tip that Melanie shares is press Z twice in the arrangement view to focus on the selected clip. So you just double tap Z, it'll focus on the selected clip really quickly. She also shares some great tips in that Google Sheet if you want to go into the show notes and download that. Another tip is by David Sharma. With Live 11, when mapping macros in an instrument rack with multiple instances of the same device, you can right-click on a parameter you've mapped and choose Map to Siblings. One really valuable use case of this is, say you have a drum rack, for example, and you want to shorten the sustain on everything inside of that rack, not just, say, like one or two snare drums, but all the snare drums. Maybe you've got like 100 snare drums in a drum rack or whatever. Then you can right-click on the sustain inside the simpler instrument and choose Map to Siblings in that menu. It'll map the sustain to all of the samples inside of that drum rack. So that's one use case. There's a million things you could do, but it can be a huge time saver to map one parameter to all the devices inside that drum rack or instrument rack or whatever. So yeah, shout out for that tip. That's a great one. Next tip is by my friend Ricardo Balderas, and he talks about extracting grooves as MIDI clips. One interesting thing is you can actually take an audio file, you can drag it straight into the groove pool on the left under the browser, like we talked about, and then you can take that groove that it creates from that audio clip. It'll basically pull out all the transient hits and the swing or whatever, and then you drag that back into a new MIDI track. On that new MIDI clip, on that new MIDI track, it creates like a rhythmic sequence of C3 notes that can be easily edited into something musical or new. So that's just kind of a fun trick. Next tip is by my friend Michael McReynolds. He is not an Ableton certified trainer, but he is a good friend of mine, and he also helps me with some scheduling from the podcast and stuff. He is also an Ableton guru and said to use the envelope follower for mixing, which can be really cool. If you use it and assign it to individual bands on an EQ, which is a little bit more flexible than, say, a sidechain compressor, you can, for example, duck the high band of a synth based on the level of a vocal track. With the mapping feature in the envelope follower, you can map it to certain things. And make certain bands of an EQ jump out of the way when something else might be fighting the frequencies of another instrument. He also mentions the tip of using a vocoder audio effect to create buildups and tensions on any instrument. I find the vocoder can be really cool on snare, adding another layer of like white noise and sound, make it sound thick. He also says automating the decay and formant controls on the vocoder can be great for buildups. So try that, play with it. Next tip is by Merlin Silva, and he talks about placing the random device before a drum rack. So check out the random MIDI effect, and you can automate the chance parameter for instant drum fills and all kinds of happy accidents programming drums. So check that out. He also mentions search for the word freeze in your browser, and then you can playfully drag the results into a sampler and rediscover ideas and sounds from old projects, which is a really cool and dope idea, Merlin. I'm going to have to try that. I haven't really done that much, but yeah, when you do freeze, Ableton Live saves that freeze, that new audio clip in your browser. So you can go back through old projects. Yeah, grab some old sounds and things you've maybe frozen or resampled, and then pull that into a new project. Have fun with it. When you do search that in the browser, just make sure on the left side you click the All Results category so you can see all the audio that's been freezed or frozen, I guess is the proper term. He also mentions in Drum Bus, you can automate the frequency and turn up the boom knob for quick sub drops and wobbles. Yeah, that thing's pretty cool. So if you go in the Drum Bus, play with the boom, you can take any old kick drum and make it into an 808 with that as well. Have fun. So yeah, Drum Bus for the win again. Next tip is from Misty Jones. Shout out to Misty. She's great. And we did a podcast together as well. And she was on the Max for Live podcast, I believe. That was a great episode. Yeah, she says, take several short drum loop clips in the same track in session view and use the follow actions, set it to say like 3 different clips, 16 bars each or something, set them to random or other and legato mode for an ever evolving new loop. And you can add effects behind them for new experimental effects and things. So yeah, that's kind of a fun idea, using follow actions to generate progressions and drum loops and sounds. So that's a pretty fun idea. Next tip is by Amit Segal, and he mentions using the compressor sidechain in monitor mode as a way to route audio into a channel. So such as you can create an audio effects rack with multiple chains, and you can have, instead of having multiple tracks, you can do sidechain compression inside an audio effects rack affecting another chain. Say you have a reverb on another chain, you can use that sidechain to affect that reverb. And basically just using audio effects racks in general, you can create an entire mixer just on one track. on its own. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can interpret this and go deeper, but I think he was really just kind of showing really route audio in and out of the same track. So yeah, a lot of different ways we could go down that rabbit hole without having a proper tutorial, but I did include a link to a tutorial in the Google Drive if you want to learn more about routing inside of audio effects racks and chains and things. So next up is Katie Watson, and Katie talks about saving live sets in the appropriate project. That was her tip, and she's right, because there's nothing worse than choosing save live set as and saving it in an older project folder. So yeah, just double check where your projects are being saved as, especially. And yeah, good stuff from Katie. She's on an upcoming episode really soon. Last but not least, the next tip is by Liam O'Malon. And he actually had some really great tutorials I linked throughout this Google Sheet with all the tips that we've mentioned and more. But he mentions the EQ3 as a great phase tool. And he talks about placing a bunch of EQ3 devices in an audio effects rack. You can macro map the frequency low and the frequency high crossover knobs to a macro, and you can use this as a cool sweeping effect for like a cool phasing sound. I find this can be really dope if you put it on, say, like pads or like a bass synth sound, and you can have this really cool kind of sweeping effect. So yeah, shout out to Liam. I included a tutorial that Kermode did and that I mentioned several episodes ago on how to do this with an EQ3, because I never really used the EQ3 until I saw this tip, started using it a lot more. So shout out to Liam. But that pretty much wraps up the highlights of this sheet. And I want to thank all of the Ableton certified trainers that helped me build this list of 100 Ableton Live tips and tricks. There's a lot more in that Google Sheet I mentioned that was not mentioned on this podcast, so I encourage you guys to go check that out. There's a link in the show notes, so make sure you download it, study it, have fun. And as always, I'll be trying to release a new episode every Tuesday. I've got some great guests in the pipeline coming up. Want to give a big thanks to everybody supporting listening to these episodes. It really means a lot to me. And much love to everybody. Stay tuned until next time. If you want to connect with me, then we can hang out mostly on Instagram, at Philia Music, that's P-H-I-L-I-A, Music, or Live Producers Online. Those are the two handles I'm usually hanging out with. If you want to be the first to get new episodes when they come out, then you can go to liveproducersonline.com/newsletter and join the email list. I'll try not to spam you and send you good content in Ableton Live training and podcasts and things. Also, if you don't own the latest version of Ableton Live 11, happy to hook you up with a deal and a discount. Just go to liveproducersonline.com/buyableton. And yeah, I'll hook you up. Have a super awesome week/weekend whenever you're listening, guys, and I will see you next time. Later.